Turn to Galatians chapter 3 and 4 again. For the past couple Sundays, I've been talking about, actually Sunday before, talked about the bondage that we as the children of God were in before conversion. But then after our conversion, we are then placed as sons. That's the phrase of the adoption of sons.
Yes, sir.
The word would be adoption, which means to place as a son. Now remember that the foundation of adoption is blood redemption. The foundation of it, the grounds for it. Not faith, not even election. The foundation of adoption is blood redemption.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But only believers, only the converted, experience adoption.
Yes, sir.
According to Paul, and I'll read it again, Galatians chapter 3, and that's where I want to begin this morning. But after that faith is come, so here we have clearly an order set, correct? But after that faith is come.
Yes, sir.
And let me reiterate, this is talking about when faith is personally given to an individual by God in regeneration.
Exactly.
I'm not going into all that. But after that faith has come, he's not talking about some so-called dispensation of faith or grace. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now what's the schoolmaster? It's the law. What is the law? Bondage.
Yes, sir.
Bondage. And that, of course, is clearly what he goes on to say about the adoption when he says in verse 4 of chapter 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to what? To redeem them that were under the law.
Yes.
That we might receive the adoption of sons. So, only believers, only the converted experience adoption. Now, let me tie this into something Joe said this morning. There are those, as Joe said, who believe that the election, and I think maybe most of them, Mason, but maybe not all of them, they believe that the elect are all regenerated, but all the regenerated are not necessarily converted. That is, there's many elect who are regenerated and live their life in unbelief and disobedience to God under the bondage of the law, but then wake up one day in heaven because they were elect and regenerated. The Scripture doesn't teach that.
Exactly.
The Scripture teaches that every one of the elect were predestinated unto the adoption of sons.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Yes, sir.
None accepted. Okay.
Exactly.
Therefore, the adoption flows from the election and the blood redemption.
Yes, sir.
And flow from it, it must.
Yes.
Because God's ordained it so.
Yes.
So the foundation of adoption is blood redemption, not faith, not election, but only believers, only those who are converted experience adoption. As he said, after that faith has come, that's when me personally, that's when I'm no longer under the schoolmaster.
Exactly.
That's what it says there, right?
Yeah.
But look, and we know this is not taken out of context. This is me not trying to make this fit, because the next, look at what else he says, rather. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. No, I missed one. I'm sorry, didn't I? I thought that wasn't reading right. But after the faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the, you remember what that word is now, it's not children. It is sons. He's talking there, Mason, about the adoption.
Yeah.
For ye are all the sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Now I will take some of what Joe said or has been saying for the past few Sundays. And I will say it this morning myself. But I want us to notice here what Paul writes. For ye are all the sons of God by faith. And notice what it says there then. In Christ Jesus. This faith, this kind of faith, this gift of God, because that's what it is, has a particular direction.
Yes.
Now, Joe's right. It is a noun. It's a noun. And the word for believing is a verb. But they are still the same thing.
Exactly.
Okay? That is, you can't have a runner and that runner not run.
Exactly.
A runner who doesn't run is a liar.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
A runner who walks is not a runner. A runner defies not the action necessarily, but the person. But it describes what the person does. But notice what he does. He doesn't say, for you're all the children of God by believing in Christ Jesus. He says, by faith. But yet he says, this faith has a direction.
Yes, sir.
Believing is faith in action.
Yes, sir.
That's what believing is. It's not different from faith.
No.
It's not God gives you faith, then somewhere along the line, then you start to believe. Because Scripture is clear, men and women believe how? By the grace of God.
Amen.
But here Paul uses the word faith. And this faith has a particular direction. It is faith in Christ Jesus. It's not just faith in God. Countless millions of people believe in God. And I can even, David, take that and say countless millions of people believe in the God of the Bible. Okay? And I can even boil that down even more and say there's countless other, or maybe the same, or of the same group, countless millions of people who often believe in who? Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
But there are very few who believe in Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
That is Messiah, the Savior.
Yeah.
And Paul says, for you're all the sons of God, how? By faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Faith in Christ Jesus is, I talked about the experience of the adoption. We're in bondage. We were brought out of bondage. But I want to now particularize it as Paul does in this context. Faith in Christ Jesus is what it is to experience the adoption of sons. It is to believe in, that is, have a faith that is directed toward Christ Jesus. You can believe in the Bible all day long and still not be one of the adopted.
You're right.
You can believe in God all day long, all of your life, or at least most of your life, and still not know what it is to be one of the adopted. Now remember, all the elect will be adopted.
Yes, sir.
Because according to Ephesians 1, those chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, every one of them were predestinated unto the adoption of sons. By Jesus Christ himself. But this faith is pointed toward a certain person.
Yes, sir.
You miss Christ Jesus, you missed it all.
Exactly.
So I said you can believe in the Bible, you can believe in God, you can believe in a Jesus, but if it's the wrong Jesus, it's not the adoption of sons.
That's right. That's it.
Adoption is a judicial fact by faith. But it also brings about a relationship with God.
Yes, sir.
Now let's read that part. Now you go down here, look. Verse 5 of chapter 4. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So receiving the adoption is based upon the redemption.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's right.
The redemption is the basis for the receiving of the adoption. But then what is it to actually experience this adoption? What is the actual receiving of it? And because ye are sons. See, that's the judicial. It's a declared and created fact. We are created, Joe, in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And because ye are sons, what does it say? God hath. There is no doubt here.
That's right.
It's not God may, God might, God does for some. God hath for all of his own. Everyone who's a child of God from the beginning will then be adopted as a son in time.
Amen.
And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now let me preface this with something, but then I'll try to talk about it here just a little bit later. It doesn't say he sent forth his Spirit into our hearts whereby we cry, Abba and Father. It is Abba, Father. These two things are now or I shouldn't say just are now, but these two things, that is Abba and Father, are melded into one another as Abba, Father. Do you see that? There is no, what is and? What is it, a preposition?
Injunction.
Injunction? Okay. Thank you, Josie. I didn't study when I was in school. There is no and there. It is not God is to us two separate things. God is to us one. But it's like the old proverbial saying, there are two sides to the coin.
Yes, sir.
But we see both sides. Here's what's amazing.
Yeah.
We see both sides at one time.
Yes, sir.
That's the amazing thing. He is not just Abba.
Yeah.
He's also Father. But he's not just Father, he's also Abba. But he's not Abba over here for a while, or at times, and then Father at times. He is Abba, Father.
That's right.
Do you see that? Now that may seem simplistic, but yet that is what Paul clearly expresses here.
Yes, sir.
And because you are sons, because the legal deed has been done, because God has done his work, that's what it boils down to. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So again, let me read this and go through it again. Faith in Christ Jesus is the experience of the adoption of sons. Adoption is a judicial fact by God giving us faith, but it brings about that relationship by faith in Christ Jesus, of which we find both intimacy toward God and a fear of God.
Amen.
Both at the same time.
Exactly.
It's not a fear of God at times, but then at times he's my buddy.
Yeah.
It's not at times, well, there are times when I'm afraid of God, but there are other times when I find great joy in God. No, let me tell you something. While I am afraid of God, while I fear God, at the same time, he's my papa.
Amen.
At the same time.
Yes, sir.
And no matter how much I understand him and experience him as my papa, yet at the same time, he is still always what? My father.
Amen.
The one I fear.
That's right?
Yes,
sir.
That's what the Apostle Paul's talking about. Because adoption is not just some judicial act. It is an experience, or I should say it better stated, it is to experience an actual relationship with God as he is toward his sons.
Amen.
It's a relationship of understanding. It's understanding.
Yes, sir.
There is understanding there.
Yes, sir.
And we know that the Son of God hath come and hath given us what? An understanding. If you don't understand, you don't have the adoption. You see that? It's just that simple. Because it's one of understanding. Now, so how much do you understand? Stop trying to belabor the truth and just acknowledge the truth for what it is.
Amen.
It ain't about how much you understand. It's about who you understand.
That's it.
If you understand the right person, in time the understanding will grow.
Yes, sir.
If you don't understand the right one, you will not grow no matter how much you understand.
Exactly.
You see?
That's it.
And let me say another thing. You can believe in the Bible, you can believe in God, you can believe in Jesus, that Jesus of religion. You can even believe in a Calvinistic outlook of the Scripture. But if you don't have faith that is toward Christ Jesus, you've not experienced the adoption of sons.
Amen. That's right.
Because that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's not about receiving certain doctrines. It's about receiving a person of whom those doctrines speak. There's one thing about it. If you meet the real Christ Jesus, you will eventually know the doctrines.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But you can know the doctrines and still miss the Christ Jesus of whom them doctrines speak. But if he crosses your path first, then eventually you'll come to know and understand what you need to know and understand. And it will be in his good time. So it is a relationship. That's what adoption, that is adoption's ultimate goal. Not to get me to heaven, but that I might have in time a relationship with my papa, Father.
Amen.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. It's for now, not for then.
Exactly.
It's for now.
Yeah.
most everybody is worried about then. What's going to happen at the great white throne, or when the books are opened, or when the resurrection takes place? The point of Scripture, almost all of Scripture, the greatest majority of Scripture, has to do with our relationship with God in Christ now.
Amen.
And then is spoken of as the fringe benefit of what you experience now. Because if you don't have it now, you won't have it when? Then. Because God has purposed His people have it now that they might experience it more fully then.
Amen.
Truly it is said, then will we know even as we are known. Right? Mm-hmm. Then we will. But we still know even now. Right? Mm-hmm. Because even Paul says, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. But he is not belittling knowing God. Because first of all, you've got to come to know God before Him knowing you does you personally, in your experience now, any benefit.
Exactly.
In your experience now. So it's a relationship of understanding, but it's also a relationship of all. Of all. To be awed by God. To be awed as to who He really is. To stand in awe of Him. Now, I don't like the word, but I'll use it. And the reason I don't like it is because idiots use it, but it's still a good word. He is awesome.
Yeah, you're right.
But sadly, He is not awesome like they're talking about awesome. They think He's awesome like I think a big T-bone steak is awesome.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's not the kind of awesome God is.
No.
God is awesome because He fills us with awe for Him. So it's a relationship of understanding. It's a relationship of awe. It's a relationship of reverence.
Yes, sir.
If you don't reverence God, you don't know Christ. You don't know God.
Exactly.
If you don't reverence Christ, you don't know God.
Amen.
It's a relationship of understanding, relationship of awe, a relationship of reverence. It's a relationship of trust.
Yeah.
I trust Him.
Yeah.
And you do too. Yes, if you've been adopted.
Yes, sir.
You trust Him. Right? I mean, you trust Him.
Yeah.
Most people, automatically, when I said trust, you probably, I trust Him to get me to heaven. That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. But I trust Him to take care of me when?
Now.
Now.
Amen.
Now. Whatever happens to me, He's doing it, or He is at least suffering it to be done in wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't He? Because it is best for me. No matter how much Roy Jr. I may kick against it, it's still best for me. But even when I kick, there's a part of me that knows God does right.
Amen.
And He's doing the best for me, whatever it is.
Yes, sir.
So it's a relationship of understanding, of awe, of reverence, of trust. It is both filial, that is a family thing, Papa. But it's also of profound, deep respect and fear.
Yes, sir.
And fear.
At
the same time.
Exactly.
It's not I fear God for a few moments and all of a sudden He's my papa. No, I fear Him while He is my papa.
Right.
And while I fear Him, He is my papa.
Exactly.
All at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Now I know I could go now into using illustrations that you and I might relate to about our fear and reverence for our papa, our fathers. That doesn't cut it. Because it does not measure up to the absolute fear and filial relationship we have with God in Christ Jesus. But remember, it's only in Christ Jesus. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no papa.
Amen.
Exactly.
There is no papa outside of Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, there is no father so much outside of Christ Jesus. There is only God the Creator and the Judge.
Exactly.
Outside of Christ Jesus. There is nothing else but God's wrath and condemnation outside of Christ Jesus. God as Creator and Judge. But in Christ Jesus, there is both Papa, and I'm going to put and in there, but it's melded together. Papa and Father at the same time. And we see that, look at it, chapter 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, I'll read it again, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, where? Is it just out here somewhere? Into where? Your hearts, your innermost being.
Yes.
It's, in other words, now, Jack, it's a part of who I am.
Yes.
It's a part of what I experience. I experience this because there is, but notice it's still not me doing it, is it?
Exactly.
Is it? It's still not me. It's the Spirit of his Son sent into my hearts crying, what? Papa, Abba, Father.
Amen.
What a glorious thing. Faith in Christ Jesus. We could say believing in Christ Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. Because here Paul puts faith in a particular direction. I've done said that, right? It's not just faith in whatever. Not faith in the Bible. It's not just some general faith in God. It's not just some faith in some Jesus who came and lived and died and was, you know, was crucified. It means this is the Son of God. As a matter of fact, the relationship I have with God the Father is the same relationship Jesus Christ has with God the Father. Because he's the only person in Scripture that ever cried out, and we're actually given an account of it. We're told we do it, but we're never given an account of it. He's the only one that ever, Scripture ever writes down him using this phrase, Abba, Father. He used that.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because he is the Son of God. Right? And according to the Apostle John, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. But what else does he say with that? Even now are we the sons of God.
Amen.
And if you're not experiencing that, you haven't been adopted. A child of God you might be, but a son of God you are not yet. But once he makes you a son,
yes, sir,
he will make you to experience what it is to be a son. So let me move on. Faith in Christ Jesus, this believing, is full judicial sonship.
Yes, sir.
That sonship is further experienced by the Spirit in our hearts. It's not just what we do. It's not just some ritual.
Yeah.
It's not just something we say, because it's a part of what's flowing out of us, out of the abundance of the heart. What? I've mentioned this before. Bringing it all to head now. Bring it all back, or all to a head now. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks.
Amen.
And my mouth knows, because of the heart God Almighty's given me, that God is my Papa Father.
Amen.
That's what he is to me. It's this relationship. It's crying to God, both as God, as our Papa, our Daddy. Our Dada. That's what it means. It's what some have called infant language.
Yeah.
But yet it's with Father.
Yes, sir.
Which is what? The language more of maturity.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That's right.
But it's both together.
Yes, sir.
We're not talking about growing out of Papa to Father. We're talking about, while he's my Father, he's still at the same time my Papa.
That's right.
But also, while he's my Papa, he is at the same time my Father.
Amen.
And Joe, we're just kind of, and I think that's one of the reasons Paul uses that word, we're just kind of baptized into it.
Yeah.
When you go into the water, David, you go into the water, it's it. Boom. You know, you get it all at one time.
Yes, sir.
We don't sprinkle, you know.
Yeah.
We don't give them a little dribble or here, kind of, you know, freshen up a little. You go in all the way.
Yes, sir.
And that's what happens with the adoption. It's not dependent upon us. It's dependent upon the work of God. And the work of God will be done because God Almighty does it. That's simple language, isn't it? But that's the way it is. Think about it. He is both our Papa and our Father. As a Father, he is our what? Our begatter. Our progenitor. Not as creator. Not just as creator. Not, he's the creator of the whole universe. Of everything that is. If it exists, it existed because God spoke it into existence.
Yes, sir.
Paul says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And the things which are were not made by the things which do appear. We found out that we can see things that once before was impossible for us to see. Why? I mean, we can see atoms now, Mason. You know what I mean? Why? Because they are seeable.
Yeah.
It takes something more than ourselves to see it, but they're seeable. But Scripture says it takes faith to actually believe God created this world out of nothing.
Yeah.
God created the whole universe out of nothing. That's why evolution is a lie.
Right. Yes, sir.
They say the universe was created from something that already existed. Scripture says no. It was created by the Word of God. I'll take his word over theirs any day. Why? Because I'm smarter than most folk? No, by faith. The same faith that it takes, or that the same faith that places me as a son. So he's my begatter. As my father, he's my protector. As my father, he's the one responsible for my everything. Right? That's the way it's supposed to be in life. That's what your father is. He's your begatter, your protector. He's the one responsible for your everything. We even have laws. I don't know how much they're followed nowadays we got laws, and they just make them up as they go, evidently. But I'm not here to preach about that. But it used to be, and it may still be in some instances, to where a child is not even legally responsible for things they do. Who is responsible up until a certain age? Who's the parents? What's that based upon? Now, people can like it or not. That's based upon this.
Amen.
Because the father is the responsible party.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Take this how you want it, but it's the father, not the mother.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. The father's the one responsible, and that goes to every one of us who are fathers. We're the ones that were responsible. The old adage, the buck stops here, that's where it's at. But let me tell you, the same thing, not the same thing. No, that's wrong. This truth comes from the character of God himself. He's our Father.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
He's the one responsible for our everything. He's the one who deserves respect.
Yes, sir.
And he's the one to be feared.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Amen.
To be feared.
Amen.
Think of this. This is not just lip service. This is what flows from in here. And I can't tell you if it flows from in here or not. Only the Spirit can bear witness with your spirit. And we'll look at that passage in a moment because it's relevant to the very thing we're talking about. Only the Spirit can bear witness with your spirit whether that's really true of you or not. Is this flowing from the inside out? Or is it something that's kind of on the outside? You just give lip service to it. You remember our Lord warned about things like this. This people, they honor me with their lips. But what did he say? Their heart is far from me. You can talk free grace all day long. You can talk it all day long. You can have the outward manifest, the overt outward manifestations of what seems to be grace. But if it's not what's, now yes, grace must invade. Grace comes from the outside in. But once grace gets in there, Mac, guess what? Grace flows out.
Yes, sir.
And isn't that what our Lord even illustrated that, didn't he? If I give a man this water, it shall be a well of water, overflowing. It's going to pour out on you. Even sometimes, Paul, when you're trying to keep it on the inside, it'll leak out on you.
Yeah.
You'll try to keep it from people that God's your papa, father, but it'll leak out on you. You know? You can't help it. Why? Because it's a part of what you are. It's a part of what God's made you to be. Think about this. The adoption or sonship, the phrase is okay. The adoption or sonship expresses, that's in its totality. There's redemption, and because of the redemption, there is reception. Right, of the adoption. Because of the reception, there is this actual experience of it, right? This cry that goes out from the heart of Papa Father. Adoption or sonship expresses the conscientious, intelligent, experienced apprehension of our spiritual relationship to God as Papa Father, not just as Creator Judge. And see that? There's a lot of people that acknowledge God as the creator. But they have no idea about God being Papa Father, do they?
That's right.
There are a lot of people out there preaching about hell and God's the judge. And David, in a manner of speaking, rightfully so. Because he is that. He is the judge. God is a jealous God. And he's jealous of his own glory. And he says, my glory I will not share with another. So if I try to share that with myself or anybody else, guess who I'm offending?
Exactly.
God.
Yes, sir.
He is the judge. But this adoption is this inner filial and yet fearful reverencing of who God is as he is, even, no, especially toward the elect. This relationship is not, it's distinguished from God simply being our creator. He's my Papa Father. It includes that intimate adoration and love and relationship of Papa. You know? And I know there are few things like, let me put it that way. I was going to say there's nothing like, but that's not so. We often do that melodramatically to really think we're something, you know? But there are very few things like a father or a mother when you hear that child for the first thing say daddy or papa, you know, or mama. You know what I mean? And most of us have been through that. You're waiting, not just, I mean, they're pretty good at saying no pretty early, aren't they? And even before they can speak, they still say it because they squall when they don't get what they want. Right? I don't care if they're that big. When they don't get what they want, what do? Do they start waving you down? No, they start screaming. That's a child. But when that child then comes to experience their parent as what? Papa or mama. You know what I'm saying. There is nothing like that personal feeling of that relationship. When you realize that child, David, recognizes you for what you are.
That's right.
You know? And let me tell you something. And don't take this the wrong way. God is not a God absent of feeling. True feeling is expressed only in the character of God. God can love. No, God is love. God hates. God, the scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. God could be grieved. You understand what I'm saying? And God was pleased to bring us into this relationship. Guess who the center of that relationship is? Him. Him. It's this relationship of adoration for God, of great intimacy toward God, of great love toward God, but also of great fear to the same person at the same time. Now, let me show you that from Scripture, because my opinion, I have a lot of opinions. There are times when I will express my opinions even here, and I will tell you they are my opinions, and you can disagree with them if you wish. But if you disagree with the truth of God, you're disagreeing against someone you don't want to disagree with. That's the only way I know how to put it. You may appear to disagree with him, but in the end, he's going to show you who was right and who was wrong. But be turning to Matthew chapter 10. And we'll look at both of these together. Matthew chapter 10. Let's see, for the sake of time, let me just begin, see if I got to, yeah, verse. Let me just begin in verse 28. And just notice what is said right off, and fear not. Fear not who? Fear not them which can kill the body. Right? Who's he talking about? Men.
Yeah.
He's telling certain men not to fear other men. Right?
Exactly.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to what? Kill the soul.
Exactly.
But then notice now, he doesn't talk now about killing the soul. Now, and I don't even have time to go into that. There's a message even there. But here, you know, look, but rather what? Fear him.
Amen.
Now this him is a certain being.
That's right.
We know, and you look, you know who this is. Who is this?
Yeah.
God. Right?
Yeah.
And who is he actually speaking to? God's people.
Yeah.
That's who he's talking to.
Yes, sir.
That's who the Sermon on the Mount's for.
Yeah.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to, now notice here he doesn't say kill, he says destroy. It's an everlasting destruction. That's what the scripture calls it, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
But is able to destroy what? Both soul and body in hell. But I'm supposed to fear God like that? No, you will if you've been adopted.
Yes, sir.
This ain't a supposed to. This is, it will happen. Because this is what God has made you to be. You're no longer a child under legal bondage, but let me tell you what. You ain't set at liberty for yourself. You're put under Him. You're going to recognize Him as your Father. Right? Now look. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground. Notice what it says. Without your Father. The whole structure of the Greek is not just God sees it happening. It's not just God knew it would happen. Yeah. It is that one sparrow. And actually, in some terms, an insignificant creature.
Yeah.
In beauty. I'm not, you know, you understand what I'm saying. I mean, Joe, sparrows, they don't have a lot of flamboyance like other birds. A lot of colors. They're this simple little, what, brown and, you know, light color bird. But notice, not one of them falls to the ground. How? Without your Father. When it hits the ground. And the whole meaning here is when it dies.
Yeah.
It's gone. It does it how? It can't do it without your Father. And notice who was said to do it. The Father.
Yeah.
Right? But notice whose Father? The bird's Father? No, it's the bird's Creator.
Yes, sir.
But it ain't the bird's Father. See?
That's it.
Right? Without what? Your Father.
Exactly.
Because He's not the Father of everybody.
Exactly.
Now is He?
Amen.
He is the Creator of everyone.
Yes, sir.
He is the Sovereign over everyone. He is the Lord God of heaven and earth. But He's not every man's Father. Some men have another Father.
That's exactly.
Their Father's the devil. That's what He said. That's what Christ said, right? Not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Look, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered.
Yes.
Fear ye not therefore. Now look, ain't that, now look. You see that?
Yeah.
Fear Him. Now what? Don't fear Him at the same time. It's not go from one to the other so much as it is recognize both at the same time.
Yes, sir.
You see that?
Yeah.
We're not talking about progressing to where, oh, I fear God and I fear hell, but now He's my daddy. No, He's always my Abba Father.
Amen.
Because listen, He has the ability to destroy both my body and soul in hell. It's up to Him.
Yes, sir.
He holds me in His hand. And let me tell you, don't be wise in your own conceits. Remember, we went through that too. Don't, but God owes me this. I got to have this. No, you will have it if God gives it to you.
Amen.
And that's the only way you'll get it. And let me tell you something. If you think you've got something, you remember what Christ said? There'll be some people, He'll take away even what they have. Didn't He say that? Don't ever take God's grace for granted. He's got to give it to me. No, He don't. He gives it to whom He will.
Amen.
He gives it to whom He will. It's amazing to me how many people profess free sovereign grace and turn around and excuse their sin based on somebody else.
Yeah.
Go to God's law and excuse your sin based on that.
Exactly.
And see how that goes for you.
Yeah.
It's easy. I can always find somebody else worse than me. You know, now I realize, I've said this before, somebody's got to end up on the bottom on that deal.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you can almost always find somebody else worse than you.
Yeah.
That ain't the point. God's law is the standard.
Yeah.
I have been delivered from that bondage, but He's still my Papa Father. And look right here, fear Him, and at the same time, what does it say? Fear not. What? Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows.
Amen.
Now right there it tells me I'm valuable, but only why? Because God put worth on me.
Exactly.
not because there is some intrinsic value in me, but because God Almighty put worth in him saving me for his glory. His glory's what's got worth. God didn't save me because I was a sinner. Because none of us were sinners when we were first made in our federal head. We were all said to be good. And God could have left that tree of the knowledge of good and evil out of that garden.
Yes, sir.
God was pleased to manifest both his grace and mercy and compassion and his judgment and his wrath and his condemnation. And he will show both. Now let's go on. Look at it. At both. At the same, fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess. Now notice he kept saying what? Your Father. But now what does he say? My Father. So in other words, my Father is whose Father? Christ's Father. The same Father, David. The same Father. Not less of a Father. The same Father. But if you will confess what? Me. Who? There's the direction of faith.
Yes, sir.
Christ Jesus. If you do that, I will confess you before other men. That don't matter. Their opinions and ideas don't matter. Not even God will confess me to you, other believers. But what? Before my Father. Isn't that glorious?
Amen.
And yet I'm to fear him. And yet at the same time, he's numbered the hairs of my head. I'm more valuable than many sparrows. He'll take care of me.
Amen.
Will he not? He'll take. Go on. He'll take care of me even when, not even if, even when my own familial kin abandons me in hatred toward my Father and myself.
Yeah.
Look at the con. Read on down there, and you'll find that out, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's where the real family's at. And I say this over and over, and you got people that bellyache and gripe and complain because, you know, Scripture tells us to come out from among them and be a separate. And when you do, the world gripes and complains about it.
Yeah.
Well, they don't deal with me. They don't put up with me. They don't come around me anymore because I don't want to.
Exactly.
But don't you get it?
Yeah. That's it?
My coming out from among them is not just some deed I got to do. It's where I want to be.
Yeah.
I want to be with the real family. I want to be with my Papa Father and his kids.
Amen.
And his sons.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And you look, I'm not making, this ain't coming from Walter. This is, he goes on to say, for I am come to set a man at variance against all his kinfolk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's where true Papa Father's at. Either God's your Papa Father or he ain't nothing of that sort.
Exactly.
He's everything of that. Or he's nothing of that.
You're right.
Do you see that as well?
Yeah.
Well, I got two families. No, you got one or the other. You can't serve two masters.
Right.
Our Lord said that, not Walter, not the grace preacher, not the Calvinist. Our Lord said, you cannot serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. That's his opinion. That's the only one that matters.
Amen.
There are no fence riders in God's kingdom. And you remember what I told you about fence riders? They've rode the fence so long, they've castrated themselves, and they don't have any. Christ said you're on one side or the other. You don't ride the fence when it comes to this. That's the whole point. You either are all in for God or you're all in for self.
You're right.
You're all in for God or you're all in for man. And guess who that includes? Self. It's either, and remember what I told you, it's either you know Christ is preeminent. You experience that he's preeminent. It's a part of your life that's preeminent, or he is nothing else to you. That's just the way it is. This is exemplified in two ways. And I'll have to go through this, Lord willing, probably not next week. I have something in particular for next week while Jay's here, Lord willing. But let me just give it. It's exemplified, one, in the distinction of experience every regenerated person goes through. And here's that passage, Romans 8. I turn back to it. It's that passage where Paul says his spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now look at it. Romans chapter 8. Let me just read the verses, say a couple things. Verse 14. Look, for as many as. How many does that mean? All of them. That's another way of saying all. For as many as, you know, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what?
Yeah.
They are the sons of. Now, they might be children, but it's not enough just to be a child. Eventually, every child of God will be brought to be a son.
Yes, sir.
Because every one of them, elected as children, were predestinated to the adoption of sons.
Amen.
Why? Because that's what the book says.
That's it.
Now, where was that? Here we go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear.
Yeah.
There's where we see part of it again. The spirit of bondage again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Papa. Now notice again, it's still Papa, Father. It's not Papa and Father. It's not Papa at times and Father at other times. Or Father at some times. And it's Papa, Father. All at the same time. David, you can't get away from it. When you see, when you fear him, when he makes you afraid of him, yet at the same time, you know, he's my papa.
Yes,
He's my papa at the same time. And not only that, and we'll have to look at this a little bit later, but it's also exemplified in Christ's experience. I turn to Mark chapter 14, and we'll read that. And here's that one place where we're actually given an example of somebody saying this. Let me find it. Mark chapter 14. And let's see, briefly, let's read it, make a couple statements. And verse 32, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. Now notice there's something about this. Christ is going to, you will see this, he is going to isolate himself from everyone else. To some degree or another. Okay? I have just said in my own words what this is about to say. He will isolate himself, remove himself from everyone else to some degree or another. Now look. He said to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him. All right, so there were what? I'd have to look. I don't know. Judas was done gone. I think I'm thinking right. But let's think there's 11 of them, right? And he takes three with him, so that leaves what? Somebody help, eight? That leaves eight. Eight were sitting over there. They went into Gethsemane. Some were, Mason, along the entrance. He said, y'all eight stay here. Y'all stay here. Then he says, you three come with me. Right? And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavily. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. What does he say? Tarry ye here and watch. So in other words, you wait here. Let me tell you something. Our relationship, it's not a point of, well, I just don't feel like I got a relationship with God like so-and-so has. That's not the point. Be where Christ put you.
Exactly.
He says, sit here, and don't gripe and complain. He takes Peter, James, and John on up the road some.
Yeah.
Capiche?
That's it.
Understand?
Exactly.
It's his business.
Yes,
he takes his own where he will.
Amen.
If he leaves me at the gate of Gethsemane, that's fine. That's where I ought to be, where he said to be.
Exactly.
There's a message in itself, ain't it?
Yeah.
But if he's pleased to take me on up the road, that don't mean I'm better than anybody else. Because guess what Peter, James, and John did?
Yeah. That's right.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
It don't tell us what the other eight were doing. They may have been back there looking and watching.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Peter, James, and John, they conked out. Right? So just because you're further up the road than somebody else don't mean you got it.
Exactly.
You are where God put you.
Amen.
Be glad with that. He's your Papa Father.
Amen.
He's got you where he wants you. Now look. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour, not the cross, the hour might pass from him, and he said what? Papa, Abba, Father.
Amen.
You see the relationship he has with God, the Father? That's the same relationship he gives me.
Amen.
And that he gave you.
Yes.
David, I can call unto God just like the Son himself did.
Yeah.
In your deepest, darkest hour. He was sorrowful, how? Even unto death. I can't even fathom that for the Son of God, Mason, to feel that way. Yet he did, didn't he? But what's he say? Papa, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And there is a lesson there for that. And you know, most people think, well, God decided, well, no, I can't do that. No, God did.
Yeah.
Because in another place, you will see another writer says, and the angels came and what? Ministered unto him. He received strength for the day. Then that day.
Yeah.
Why? Because the next day he was going to die.
Exactly.
Wasn't he? There wasn't no avoiding that. But here's the point. His relationship, my relationship with him, despite what I am in the flesh, is the same relationship he has with the Father.
Amen.
Abba, Father, right?
Yes, sir.
But what's an Abba-Father relationship? God, you know best.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
No matter where I'm at.
Yep.
If I'm at the head of the line, Joe, or if I'm at the back of the line. If he leaves me back there with the 8 or takes me on with the 3. It doesn't matter, does it? Is that what matters? That's not what matters, is it? Now, let me tell you something. Being at the head of the group ain't always the best place to be. I'm telling you, it ain't always the best place to be. But be that as it may, here's the thing. The best place to be is where God puts you.
Amen.
And that's where you're going to stay. Whether you like it or not, so you might as well just quit bellyaching about it and thank him for it. That's what it ought to be.
Exactly.
Now, do we always do that? No, but that's what it ought to be. Because let me tell you, it can be that.
Yes, sir.
Joe is not still over there somewhere. I've been adopted as a son.
Yes, sir.
I can now cry what? At any time.
Yeah.
Abba, Father. The one whom I'm to fear, that he could destroy my body and soul in hell, still knows how many hairs I have on my head. And not only does he know it, again, the whole thing there is, he actually put them there. Mm-hmm. And when that comb goes through or that brush goes through, he's the one that's letting them come out.
That's right.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
How many of us gripe and complain about the grays? God put them there.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Now that may seem trivial. But let me tell you something. That's what it is. We will gripe and grouse and complain about gray hair, won't we?
Yes, sir.
How much more are we going to gripe and complain about other things?
Yeah.
But he's still what? Abba, Father. And you're going to know him as that as well. Both?
That's right.
At the same time.
Yes, sir.
And if all you have is one or the other, you don't have either. Let me end this message with that. If you don't have both, Abba, Father, you don't have neither. That's just the way it is. It's not, I can pick which one I want. Uh-uh. He's Abba Father to those who are sons. Every one of them, right, Mason? Every one of them, he's Abba Father. Not just Abba and not just Father, or not Abba and Father. He's Abba Father at the same time. Father, teach us these things, not just academically or doctrinally, Lord, but by experience. Truly, your grace and mercy and compassion is beyond our human tongues and expression. But yet, we're encouraged to do so, to set forth and to praise you, to offer up the sacrifice of the praise of our lips. And this we do by thy grace. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.